Welcome, everybody, and a special welcome to Julian, Rick, and Stacy, who've just gone through the waters of baptism and the laying on of hands to receive a down payment of God's Holy Spirit. You may be soggy, but you're on good ground now. We welcome you not only to our congregation, but to the whole church, the spiritual Church of God around this world, and the servants of God. You are entering a life that can be most challenging and exciting, but also trying and frustrating. The Spirit of God will help you to live with peace of mind, no matter what life brings. The title of my sermon today is Fake Freedom or God's Freedom. What is the Canadian Dictionary definition of freedom? Freedom of conscience and religion, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media, freedom of peaceful assembly, and freedom of association. The Webster's Dictionary says, quality or state of being free, such as the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint, or choice of action, liberation from slavery, or from the power of the state, boldness of conception, or of execution, a political right. Freedom refers to the state of independence where you can do what you like without any restriction by anyone or on what you think. Freedom means different things to different people. The National Post has an article this week that says, "Are Democrats really the party of freedom?" She talks about freedom. Freedom is what I call a weasel word, which means it can be whatever the person wants. You can tell that from the definition. This false concept of freedom of defining words is even found in children's literature in the 19th century. Quote, "When I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more or less." That's a quote from Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, children's book of the 19th century. When the children of Israel were about to enter up the promised land, God gave them a choice, as it sets out in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 to 19. Can you read?
See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live."
Thank you. God gave Israel only two choices: obey God and have a good life, or rebel against God and die. You receive freedom when you obey God's law. And it was important that promise of freedom and obedience be passed on to the children in the family. when Moses died and Joshua became the leader of Israel, as they were to enter the promised land, the Israelites were faithful in worship and obedience to God until Joshua's death. God had commanded the people to worship him and obey his law, but he also commanded them to teach God's law to their children. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 and 10.
Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, may teach their children.
Again in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7.
You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
It's no good if you keep the law perfectly as a physical human being, but don't pass it on to your children. That's the key. Freedom and God's law must be passed on to the children. Israel failed to do this with terrible consequences. After Joshua's death, the whole nation of Israel went after pagan gods and abandoned their covenant with Almighty God. The children had not been taught God's law and God's word. We need to reflect on these serious consequences, ensure our children learn God's word in our families and are supported in our congregations.
Psalm 119, verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
This is why we must obey God's law. It teaches us how to live and how to avoid harm and trouble. It's like a flashlight in the dark. It shows the traps and the pitfalls of life. The Bible describes the law as the law of liberty in James 1, verse 25, and James 2, verse 8 to 12.
But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James 2, verses 8 to 12. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak, and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty.
It's clear what James is referring to. It's the Ten Commandments. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a year where the focus was on liberty. You'll find that in Leviticus 25, verse 10 to 17.
And you shall consecrate the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God.
The year of Jubilee was specifically to promote liberty and freedom. People who'd made the mistakes and put themselves into slavery or sold their possessions or their land. Remember, land was the center of the economy of ancient Israel. This was a chance to undo the mistakes of the past. Remember that Christ's whole message at his first coming was to proclaim liberty and freedom. You'll find that in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
This is clearly referring back to the year of Jubilee. But we live in a different world. We live in a world where Satan is in charge, as you'll read in Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 2.
And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
So we follow, this world is following Satan, and the first sign that Jesus gave of his return in Matthew 24, verse 4, was an increase in deception.
And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you."
And Paul points this out in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15. The servants of Satan appear as servants of righteousness.
And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works.
Do you not think there is political deception, an economic deception, and all sorts of deception, as well as spiritual deception? There are false leaders, not just spiritual, but also political, who promise freedom, but they are trapped in sin and oppose God's law, which would give them freedom. 2 Peter 2, verse 17 to 19.
There are false leaders, not just spiritual, but also political, who promise freedom, but they are trapped in sin and oppose God's law that would give freedom. These are wells without water, clouds clarified by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage.
Now we come to the core of the issue. Notice what it says in Romans 6:15 to 16 and 20:21. We are all slaves, whether we recognize it or not.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?
We are slaves to whom we obey. We really only have two choices, as in Deuteronomy, either obedience to God as his slaves or slaves of sin leading to death. Sin offers many ways, thousands of ways. God offers only one way, obedience to his law.
For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
This world is suffering, is waiting for us to be free. As it says in Romans 8, verse 18 to 21.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Christ tells us how we can become free in John 8:31-36.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Ironically, they were under the Roman control at this time, and they thought they were free. But he goes on to say in John 8:44,
you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it.
The Jews, like the rest of the world, follow Satan. He is the author of lies and deception. In conclusion, when you hear the word freedom, your spiritual antenna should go up. Is it freedom in God's law, or is it freedom from God's law? We must not be deceived by weasel words that mean different things to different people. Do you remember in 2012, President Obama's hope and change? What did that mean? It didn't mean going back to God's law, that's for sure. Hold and cling to God's standard and judge by God's law and God's word. That's the only thing we can depend on. When they come up with these words, we are slaves to whom we obey. We really only have two choices, as in Deuteronomy, either obedience to God as his slaves or slaves of sin leading to death. Sin offers many ways, thousands of ways. God offers only one way, obedience to God's law. Brethren, there will be no formal discussion today, but please do share your thoughts and questions with me anytime. May God bless you, your meditations and your prayers.